Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Happy Monday. Welcome into Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The 2024 draft has concluded. We're on to 2025, Paul. No, we're not. We're not talking about the 2025 NFL draft. Who cares?
I saw that Shedeur Sanders is the odds-on favorite to go number one overall.
Good luck with that. Whoever has the number one pick, that's all. Those are my thoughts. But the Texans are done in the 2024 draft. It's free agency signing. Could be on the way. We're seeing a couple of veterans off the board, like Mekhi Becton. Just got signed, the former first-rounder from the Jets. So if there is going to be an offseason signing for the Texans, it's for a veteran. It's going to come soon. Nick Caserio says he expects to start cutting players soon. The Deshaun Watson trade is officially over. And the Astros showed a pulse this weekend. But we'll start with the Texans. We were doing the draft show on Friday night. And, you know, not the sexiest picks, I would call them. But they addressed at least one position that we both thought they very much needed, cornerback, when they took Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. Then they took Blake Fisher, the tackle from Notre Dame. So what are your thoughts on the Texans draft when you look at it?
They kind of addressed corner. I mean, they got a nickel corner. They already have a lot of nickel corners in Desmond King and Miles Bryant. I'm looking at it. I don't see this draft class being the difference for the Texans this coming season. Down the road, maybe, but I'm wondering just how many of these guys are even going to play this year.
I kind of agree with you. Like, Blake Fisher seems like a swing tackle. I don't know how many of the draft grade things that you read. I'm always curious to see what other people who follow this on a consistent basis say. And the one thing that stood out, we talked about this a little bit on Friday night, was I don't know if we are in the dark, if we are uninformed. I don't think we are. Everyone keeps saying Titus Howard is moving to left guard. He's not moving to left guard, but that's the only explanation I think there is for Blake Fisher besides just depth, which they kind of said in their press conference, like he's a depth pick at this point. But I agree with you. Like they didn't, you know, go out there and bring in guys that you're going to say, this is a day one impact guy. Maybe Lassiter is, you know, maybe the kid out at USC is the safety, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like they went into this draft and they got depth
yep.
in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not picking in the first round, you shouldn't have expectations for immediate contributions from any of these players. And I think the thing is that's different from last year to this year is that you didn't have a whole lot of depth. Now you're in a position where you can draft for depth. Nick Caserio said he wants to have 4 tackles. He thinks every team needs to have it. And based off of the Texans' injury history of late, he's right. But yeah, I'm not expecting to see much of Blake Fisher this coming season. Kalen Bullock, the safety that they drafted, they sounded very high on him. There's a chance that he plays a lot this coming season because it does seem like he's one of those free-range guys that actually can cover deep. And on top of that, with Cade Stover, who they got with their first pick on day 3, they seem to be very complimentary of him. So, I mean, if I'm looking at any 2 players to maybe have an immediate impact, it's those 2. But how much of one? Not much of one. Yeah, that's what the NFL draft is supposed to be. I mean, you're supposed to be adding pieces, best player available at certain spots, and you hope that they ultimately contribute at some point in time. So, not a very sexy weekend, but also not the end of the world that it wasn't a sexy weekend.
Yeah, I mean, when you trade out of the first round, like, this is kind of what happens. And if you're not going to be aggressive in the draft, which is kind of what we saw out of a surprise from Caserio. I mean, look, you see Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean go back-to-back, and then you take Lassiter right after that. So if you thought one of those guys was the guy you wanted, then you missed him. I think the Cade Stover pick is really fascinating. Like, this is a guy who has almost 1,000 receiving yards in 2 years, 10 touchdowns. I forgot about this, and so I was listening to some of the stuff John Harris was doing, and he reminded me that Cade Stover wasn't a tight end 3 years ago.
Yeah, he was a pass rusher. Insanely versatile athlete. I mean, he got recruited out of the high school where he went to, where he had 1,500 yards rushing and 17 touchdowns.
It's crazy.
He got recruited to Ohio State as a linebacker. So you know he was really good as a linebacker just based off of that. He set the all-time scoring record in basketball at that high school he was at, and then goes to Ohio State, plays linebacker, gets moved to defensive end, gets moved to tight end, moves back to linebacker in the middle of, I think, a game where they were out of depth. I want to say it was the Sugar Bowl, and then plays tight end for the majority of his last two seasons there. Yeah, he's an athlete. He's learning the position, and he's someone that has some familiarity with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, maybe it's – well, part of it's because tight end is a position where on the Texans it does seem like, yeah, I mean, he can probably get some good snaps in there. What, it's Schultz, Brevin Jordan, and Stover's kind of the three guys there. So it does feel like – and then when you hear not just his backstory and the stuff that Paul laid out, but then how Caserio talks about him, you're like, oh, my God, they – the Texans just draft Gronk 2.0? I think they just drafted Gronk.
Yeah, let's hear from Caserio on Stover before we go to Gary. Here is Nick Caserio showing his love for the Texans' newest tight end.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's elite. I mean, this guy is as tough and hard-nosed a player that they had in the program. Just kind of going back to the question and D'Amico's answer about developing players, I'd say Cade's a good example of a player who has only played tight end for 2 years, so he's certainly not a finished product. But he has a mindset and the work ethic to improve. I mean, how he was raised. I mean, this guy is everything you want in a football player and then more. I mean, he probably played hurt this year. I mean, I think he had an MCL or had an issue where, quite frankly, it would have limited some other players, but he just braced it up and he just kept playing football. So,
hell yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speak for D'Amico, but I think we feel the same way. This is probably one of our favorite, like, football players in the entire draft.
Whoa.
Regardless of position, because of his mentality, because of his mindset. And he still is developing as a player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was playing defensive end in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Now he's, you know, played tight end for 2 years, and here he is getting picked in the bottom of the fourth round. And his position is, you know, we think tight end. That's why we drafted him. So, but, I mean, blue collar as they come, and from a makeup, traits, toughness, mentality, I mean, this is an elite guy.
You know, his deep steel blue balls thinking about this.
I mean, that's, Nick Caserio, like, that's as emotional as you'll hear
one,
him.
One to kiss him. Yeah. Like what a pick.
This guy is the Patriot way personified.
One of their favorite players in the draft, and they got him, what?
In the fourth
in
round?
In the fourth round, like, yeah. The 120th pick?
Is this the biggest steal in Houston Texans draft history?
Maybe.
713-780-3776. I mean, I know there's Arian Foster. I get it. Undrafted free agent.
Well, that's not draft history.
Yeah, facts.
Exactly. Cade Stover, already the best Texans steal ever.
Ever.
I'm not going to lie, though. I did get excited hearing Nick Caserio be that excited about
yes,
it.
Yeah.
He was also remarkably excited about Bullock, but not to that degree, like he was with Stover. Maybe there was a part of Caserio who was just happy that day was finally over. Side note before we move on. Day three.
Oh my God.
We need a clock. I bitch and moan about baseball all the time. I was waiting to do a live stream on Saturday thinking I'll get this done at 4 o'clock and be able to go out and do things. That effing thing wasn't done until 6:45 p.m. It started at 11.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Do we need to have all of these celebrities that are announcing the picks? I will say, Sketch did a good job announcing
What's
the pick
of
Cade Stover. He was getting everybody pumped up, but that took 7 hours get through, yes, on Saturday.
It was so long. It was...
Why did I watch?
Yeah, I was going to say...
So long.
What am I doing with my life?
Third round is when I am relying purely off of the alerts I get from the ESPN app for when the Texans are picking or who they just picked. And then I'll go to the app and kind of look backwards because you can just kind of scroll back. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's about all I missed. I don't know how. I don't know why you watched the entire
thing. I don't either.
Thing.
I don't know what I was
Especially
doing.
Day three. No, day two is fine.
Day three is crazy.
You know what? You know what? No good deed goes unpunished, right? Like, I mean, I do the draft show on Friday.
Yeah, but like, you're the only one who's like, I hate the draft. Yeah. And you're the only one who watched day three of the draft, Paul.
I'm trying to be better.
Who wants to talk about Jawar Jordan?
Well, everyone gets mad because, oh, Paul doesn't like sports. Paul thinks he's above sports. True and true. But then I tried it. I tried it. And look at this.
But
look
day at, three.
Yeah, why'd you start
I don't know.
Three?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Paul's trying so hard. He tried too hard.
I'm trying to make it happen on the YouTube side of things, you know. And I thought to myself, well, if I do a live stream, we'll get some more followers out of that. Clearly, some people will discover me for the first time, and they'll be like, wow, this guy, he's wow. so underrated. Holy
so,
crap.
He's so complimentary about Solomon Burr.
I don't know what I was doing. I really don't. I suppose it was a better alternative to giving the Astros any of my time.
They won.
I don't care.
Twice?
Don't care. It was in Mexico, too.
It is like a fraudulent series victory.
It's C+. You did your job. Congrats.
Yes. I hate it. You know, build a wall. We shouldn't be playing games in Mexico. We shouldn't. What if those kids had done something to Jose Altuve that ran on the field? We don't know. They're foreigners. We don't know.
They need to build a bigger wall in Mexico City because those home runs, dude. Some of those home runs were ridiculous.
Or we just leave the Astros there so they can hit home runs.
So I guess Grok, who is the AI for Twitter, at some point said that there's an actual petition because of all the Astros fans sarcastically saying that the Astros should stay in Mexico City because they are undefeated. On foreign soil,
all time.
Are you like the Americans before Vietnam?
Are you telling me that are you a Grok user?
No, I just saw.
Okay, I'm just trying to clarify.
A screenshot popped up and it was saying that there's a petition of Astros fans to move the team to Mexico, and I thought to myself, that can't be real.
It's one of those things where AI is catching up, Paul. It's trying to learn what's serious, what's real, though. No, that's pretty bad. All right, we'll continue to react to the NFL draft. Oh, you'll hear from Nick Cassiera talking about the DB room, his reasoning behind taking Blake Fisher, because it does seem to be the pick that Texans fans are the most confused or upset about because they look at the tackle position and they think it's pretty secure. We'll get into that next here on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So it seems from looking at the comments on our YouTube channel from when we posted our reaction to Blake Fisher being drafted by the Texans and just kind of looking at social media in general and a lot of the draft reaction, I guess the surprising pick for the Texans in the second and third round is Blake Fisher. You bring in a tackle. He's a good player. I mean, they're like watching him a lot at Notre Dame. Obviously, all the focus is on Joel Alt, who goes number 5. To the Chargers, but Fisher's a good player. And I would say it wouldn't have shocked me if he would have gone much higher if he would have stayed at Notre Dame for one more year. But the Texans bring in a tackle, probably to at least start, just to be the backup and the replacement for Fant. And we'll hear from Nick Cassiera here, kind of just explaining why the Houston Texans decided to draft another tackle.
We're going to carry probably 4 tackles. So you're going to need 3, and you all have seen us play. At some point, they're going to have to play. Even going back to 22, we had to play multiple tackles. So, I mean, LT didn't play, and then we had to move Titus over, and then Charlie played. You know, so you're going to need tackles. So can't have enough good ones on your team. And I'd say once we picked Blake, I don't know how many offensive linemen went after that, but it was close to double digits. I don't have the exact count, but it might have been 6 or 8. So, I mean, I think Rosengarten went, the kid from BYU went, Goncalves from Pitt went. So, I mean, I'd say those teams have tackles as well. So you need 3 tackles. You probably need 4. You might need more than that. So, I mean, here's another young player with experience. There's a lot of good qualities and traits. So, I mean, that was the reason, you know, behind the pick.
Yeah, I get why they did it. I do get why. Because Titus Howard has played one full season. with this team, and that was in 2022. So he does get injured. He has shown not great ability to play left guard, but when your left guard position, when you have problems, he has shown the ability to at least be, I guess, competent at that position. So you bring in depth for multiple spots on the offensive line. Were you, how surprised were you that they went O-line, though, that early?
I was a little surprised because I thought that they would look at other positions. But if there's, in Lance Sterling's write-up on Blake Fisher, this line from an AFC personnel executive, quote, Fisher is the more naturally talented of the Notre Dame tackles. Joe Alt, the number five pick to the Chargers, the other one. Alt is much more consistent and technically sound. If that's the upside they see, then you pick a guy like that. And now, hopefully, down the road, theoretical replacement for either Titus Howard or Laremy Tunsil, plus a replacement in case either of those guys get injured. So, swing tackle with a lot higher upside. Yeah, I mean, it's an offensive lineman. If you're drafting in the second and the third round, you're drafting the players that you like the most at that point. So they clearly liked him the most.
I also wonder what it says just in general about Titus Howard's future with this team. I don't think that he has been – he has not been a great player. Like, I personally didn't love his contract. And it hasn't really kicked in yet. Like, they have an out potentially after, before 2025. So in theory, Blake Fisher could be your starting right tackle next year if you wanted to. Like, they don't have to keep Titus Howard on this team. And I heard Lance and John talking about this morning, and I thought Lance had a good point. It was like, what is Titus Howard, what has he really earned on this team? He hasn't played great. He has not been this dominant right tackle. This, it was a better pick than Andre Dillard, that's for sure, when they made it, and everyone crucified them for that. But he hasn't been this, you know, this stalwart right tackle that has made everything super easy for your quarterbacks, whether it's Davis Mills, CJ Stroud, or Deshaun Watson. So it's not that I don't like Titus Howard, but even if they were looking at the future of just, hey, this guy's not performed to the level he has, so we need to bring in a higher level of competition to compete with him and push him, I'm good with all of that.
I have no idea how good he is. All I know is they move him to left guard so much, it's really hard to know how good he is at tackle.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Right. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to act like I know anything about offensive line play. I'm too lazy to actually watch the tape. I'll leave that to Lance, but he plays a lot of left guard too. And he doesn't do so well at left guard based off of all opinions that we see online.
Yeah, it's just one of those. It was a surprising pick, but it's not the end of the world. Like, it's a depth piece. And then they drafted Kalen Bullock, the safety from USC. I thought the reaction to this was funny just because everyone's like, oh, you're taking defensive players from USC. He looks like a good ball player. Like,
they liked him too. When they talked about the pick, they said that this was another guy that we had been eyeing. So, okay, you're hoping that, one, he's going to be able to play center field at safety, or two, you're hoping that, and I saw this in Lance's write-up, that maybe he is one of those guys that you look at as a potential cornerback as well.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting because the cornerback position for the Texans right now is such a...
They did not get a number two corner. I know a lot of people are going to look at the Latimer, who they got in the second round. I'm sorry, he's a nickel corner. Based off of what I'm reading. Have I watched the tape? No. But I don't look at that guy and think to myself, oh, yeah, the Texans have their number two corner with Kamari Lassiter. I just don't see that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see it either. It's a wait and see kind of a thing. It does seem like he has stone hands. I was watching his combine stuff.
That's why he plays defensive back.
The balls were just boop, right off his hands.
Yes, they were bouncing off his hands. He had one interception in 3 years at Georgia. But he did not allow a touchdown since they played Ohio State. So all of last year he didn't allow a touchdown. It's just he just doesn't catch the ball either.
Right.
Meanwhile, no one catches the ball when it's thrown at his way.
Bullock does catch the ball.
Yeah, Bullock.
Bullock's got nine picks at the college level.
They could use that. It's not just the giving up deep stuff. The Texans, like, besides Stingley towards the end of the season, they weren't great at getting the ball.
No.
I can't remember if Jimmy Ward or Petrie even had any interceptions last year.
I think they had one combined.
Great.
I forgot which one had one.
That's tough. Yeah. I think it was Ward because I think Petrie went from a bunch to zero this year. So they need that as well. Here's Nick Caserio when he met with the media just talking about the defensive backs that they added in this year's draft.
We'll see. It'll be competition. I mean, Jeff and CJ play a lot of football at a high level. So, I mean, they're both big and fast. They've been here in the offseason program here for the last few weeks. So they're working hard. DK, we re-signed Desmond. So I'd say Miles Bryant's a guy that has kind of a Swiss Army knife safety to nickel flexibility. Say Lassiter, kind of corner to nickel, nickel corner. Bullock, safety to whatever else he could do. So you're going to need, you know, 6 to 8 defensive backs that can go out there and play. And, I mean, look, you're going to have to cover people. So you have to be able to run. You have to be able to cover. You have to be able to tackle. I mean, somebody has to chase Worthy down the field when Mahomes is launching a ball over his head this season. Oh. So, I mean, you need 5 or 6 defensive backs. It's a space game. It's a speed game. It's a tackling game. So what happens relative to opposite Derek, we'll find out. So there's nothing that's predetermined. So we'll have a better idea, I think, in training camp how that's going to transpire. But there's a good chance we're going to probably have 5 or 6 corners on the roster. 2 or 3 are going to play on defense. Whoever 4, 5, and 6 are going to be backups. And how diverse are their roles? Going back to Coach's question here, kicking game to defense. So
1-0, 1-0, 1-1, 1-0, 1-1, 1-0, 1-1, 1-0, 1-0, 1-1, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0,
back.
Dude.
He was entertaining for the Stover thing.
You know.
That was not.
And he was
so
like,
much.
Hey, you know what? Watch this. I'm playing the hits.
A great way to deflect from you saying that Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson have played football at a high level is to just never stop talking.
It's a fact they played at a high level.
They have played at
the highest
level.
The highest level there is.
In three different locations each in 4 years.
The highest level.
Hey, that is at the highest level, and they've also almost played on the highest amount of teams they possibly could, considering they were top 10 picks. Hey, it happens. It's the NFL. That entire answer screams, we don't have a second corner. Will they sign Steven Nelson? I don't know. Will they bring in somebody else? I don't know. They don't have a second corner. Hopefully it gets figured out in training camp. It should be a concern. They're going up against a lot of good quarterbacks. You even heard Caserio mention one of those quarterbacks in that answer. Patrick Mahomes throwing the football over these guys. So, look, you're not going to get everything answered in the draft. The Texans have a lot more depth, but they do not have a number two outside corner. They have a bunch of guys that can compete for the nickel spot that you feel good about, and you would include Lassiter in there. But as far as the outside corner, oh boy.
I do feel good about the depth. There's a lot of guys there.
I think the depth is great, except for the second corner.
Yeah. Yeah, they just don't have
a starter.
Yeah.
Everything else is fine. Because it really feels like right now they're playing at cornerback, assuming that they don't make a move, which I honestly would be shocked if they went into the season with this group as what they're going to figure out. Because it really feels like if that's what they're going to do, they're just rolling a bunch of dice.
It could be a training camp thing where they bring in a veteran after training camp.
Cornerback
like, oh
was
God.
Weird last year. Look what they did last year. They cut Desmond King.
Yep.
And then they had to bring him back.
Yeah.
So it's a roll of the dice at this point.
100%. The other tricky thing is here, you know, for all the people who are bitching and moaning about depth at wide receiver. Okay. Like what's your depth at corner? You know, this is something I'm surprised I'm not seeing more pushing for online for an extra corner. Stingley missed half of last year. Are we going to forget that?
And he missed all of the year before.
I mean, he's your number one corner, and you feel great about the actual player when he's on the field. But he missed half of that year, and as you said, Joe, yeah, most of the year before. So, again, just things to keep in the back of your head. That is a position that they did not address in this weekend's draft. Would they have had the ability to? If those teams hadn't traded up in front of them, you know, the two teams that traded up, the Eagles and the Saints, to take Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry, maybe they would have taken one of those guys. Maybe they were on the verge of trading up in the first round for one of the corners that went, like Quinyon Mitchell. But they instead end up with a guy that, based off of everything we're reading about him, is not a takeaway guy and more of a nickel corner. Again, I hope he proves all of us wrong. I hope that he's an immediate impact player. But I saw some people commenting on the little post-draft show that I did saying like, oh, well, he's definitely going to be the starting nickel corner. What? What are you talking about? He hasn't played in the NFL yet. You have no effing clue. Shut up.
Yeah, I can't even explain this besides just like using past history. I'm more confident that Kalen Bullock will have more impact on this team right away.
Me
all
too.
All I know is that Nick Caserio hits home runs in the third round. Nico Collins, Tank Dell. I'm just going to
They should have traded back.
So I'm just going to look at third round pick. I'm just going to assume that like Nick Caceres' third round draft pick, like that's the Rick Smith era for Nick Caceres. Like whoever he takes in the third round is awesome. So I'm just going to assume that Kalen Bullock's going to be a good player.
His third round is Rick Smith's first round?
Yep. That's what we're going to assume here. So we're just going to assume Kalen Bullock's going to be awesome for the Texans in 2024.
The very least.
Immediate impact.
At the very least, I think there's less of an uphill battle for him to get on the field.
I think so, too. Because
you don't know if Jimmy Ward's even going to be good to go. And, okay, I don't know what position he's going to play. It sounds like he's the free safety. But, yeah, they don't have anybody that can play that center high position right now because they consistently get beat deep.
All right, one other thing Nick Caserio said that was not surprising, but he addressed the elephant in the room that there is like 90 guys on the Texans roster right now and that we could be expecting to see some cuts in the next couple weeks, maybe as early as this week, we could start seeing players get cut. Who are you watching out for outside of Robert Woods? Because that'll be the name that we all kind of look at of who we expect to get cut for the Texans. That's next year on Glaunt and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
A non-Texans question we got here on the Twitch. How did Dallas not draft a running back? I don't know.
They got Ezekiel Elliott. They're fine. All in.
Yeah.
1 year, $3 million. All in, baby.
Like, for Jerry to tip his hand about Jonathan Brooks, and then he goes 10 picks before to the Panthers, and then not take a running back at all. It was so bizarre. I guess like this shows that he's just yapping away, and it's he's not really calling the shots. I don't know. That's weird to me. To publicly say you want a running back and then to not take a running back at all is bizarre behavior.
I guess.
It just seems illogical.
Well, like, if you don't like the guys that are there, then you don't take the guys that are there.
It's also like it's a running back, too. Like, all we get told every offseason is that running backs don't matter.
Yeah, they grow on trees.
And the Cowboys are like, yeah, so we're going to have Royce Freeman, Deuce Vaughn, and Zeke Elliott.
Love it.
Like, why didn't they draft a running back? It's like, well,
they grow on trees. You're fine.
Yeah. Also, it's not like they're a team with only one hole.
That's true.
they have quite a few holes.
Yeah, they went heavy offensive line in the draft. 713-780-3776. What's your draft questions, reaction? As well, we'll get to who Nick Caserio might be cutting soon here. Let's first go out to the HRMP listener line, Juan. Juan, what's going on?
Hello?
Yep, what's going on, man?
Hey, I just had a quick question. I remember I saw some tweets about moving up to the first round, and then I was looking at the picks that were left, and I don't know, I kind of thought that some teams didn't want us to get better, don't want to do business with us, like the Kansas City Chiefs or Titans and stuff like that. You think we have a couple enemies, especially since the second round, people moved ahead of us and then picked the players that we were probably going to pick.
Enemies?
You think they kind of don't want us to get a little better? Or, I don't know. I was just wondering.
Thanks, Juan. No, I don't think so.
They don't think
look,
about
teams that. Don't operate that way. Look at what the Buffalo Bills did. The Buffalo Bills handed the Kansas City Chiefs a great wide receiver. In the Chiefs' mind, at least. So it just doesn't really... I get where you're coming from because like teams were moving in front of the Texans and the Texans reportedly tried to move up. The prices that... We were going through this on Friday when we were doing the show. The prices to move up in the second round were pricey. So I just... Like, seeing the way Nick Caserio operates, he has a price in mind. He's done this with contracts. He's done this with the draft. And if he doesn't agree with you, then he's just not going to do it. So my guess is, you know, that Nick Caceres said they tried, and they just couldn't get it done.
Yeah. Teams know that the Texans wanted a corner because on their roster, they did not have a second corner. And probably thought to themselves, they might draft a corner at this spot in the draft, especially seeing as they traded away their first-round pick before the draft even started. Clearly feeling pretty patient and thinking that things would fall to them. So, yeah, they're going to look at what a team they think needs, and they will trade up and try to jump in front. So, no, I don't think this is about, like, teams hating the Texans or being paranoid of the Texans as much as it's, hey, they know that other teams need corners. We got to get a corner. There's a run on corners. We're going to trade up and get one.
Yeah, they did. Well, it's hard to say for sure that they got snaked because in the second round for a corner, because the two picks before were Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Both teams traded up to get to that spot. And obviously now the Texans, all they can say is, nope, we like Laster. We're going to take him no matter what. Even with all those guys on the board, we're going to take Laster. But there is some element of it feels like the Texans got jumped for those picks.
Yeah.
Or for they got the third choice. I know two guys win the first round, but as far as second round corners, they got the third choice of corner.
And I'm sure some people are going to say that's falling asleep at the wheel. These are people that probably just don't like Nick Caserio to begin with. You can't really plan on a team trading up in front of you, you know? And if you're constantly paranoid about that happening, well, you're going to be trading a lot of draft picks, trading up to get to a certain spot entirely based off of paranoia. And that's how the dumb teams operate.
Yeah, it does remind me a little bit, like just going kind of connecting this full circle with Tytus Howard here, back to the conversations about when the Philadelphia Eagles moved one pick in front of you in that first round to draft Dillard. Like, that's what people kind of view happened to Caserio here. But I don't know. It's you know, like, this could be just like the Tytus Howard situation. Like, Kool-Aid McKinstry could, his Jones fracture on his foot could be awful. Cooper DeJean, his tight hips might be too tight.
He's white.
Okay, yeah, don't.
Just say it, Joe.
It took a white guy.
He's white.
It took a white corner.
Don't put Cooper DeJean in the Andre Dillard camp. I can't have that. My people can't have that.
Your people.
They'll never let us be corner again if he fails.
We might need to play this tomorrow, and in case you missed it, but there was an Eagles reporter who asked Cooper DeJean the question, and it is, you know what, racism might be over, just based off of like we might be healing as a nation. Remember all the way back in the day where someone asked Doug Williams before the Super Bowl if he knew he was a black quarterback? Well, someone made sure to Cooper DeJean to let him know, like, well, you're a white cornerback. In case you didn't know that, do you think they'll move you to safety? Legitimately, the question was worded like that. And it made me think, you know what? Now that white people are experiencing the same questions that Doug Williams experienced 30 years ago, I think we've come full circle.
We're making progress.
You know what? I mean, what does it say in the end zones of every single NFL stadium? Hashtag end racism. Ended.
Done.
Right there.
Mission accomplished.
That
mission
moment accomplished. Where they asked him if he thought he was going to get his position moved because he's white.
Man.
I mean, based off history, it's fair.
I
got to be in the back of his mind.
To be that reporter, like me, like, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to say, Cooper, you know you're white?
Was it a white reporter?
Good question. I don't know.
Good question.
I can't hear color.
Good point. Yeah. We need to see if we can get the other.
Oh, yeah, it was probably a Zoom thing.
Yeah, we need to see if we can get the other angle of this. Yeah. Comment here on Twitch. Real error was trading away the first and using the second to get Diggs. Could have drafted Thomas.
Who's Thomas?
I don't know.
Brian Thomas, LSU.
Brian Thomas, the LSU wide receiver. Okay, yeah, I mean.
No.
Honestly, if you want to criticize the Texans for trading the 23rd pick, it's because they could have gotten the second best cornerback in the draft. Or moved up two spots and gotten the best corner in the draft.
You people, all you want is wide receivers. They had plenty before they got Diggs. My God.
Would you have rather them had Diggs or a cornerback prospect for this year?
Well, that wasn't the cost, though. They traded a second-round pick for next year's draft.
But to get that second pick, they moved from 23 back into second round.
Well, theoretically, they would have traded next year's second-round pick.
You're right, yeah.
I mean, if we're having a hypothetical like that, I mean, probably another corner because the defense wins championships. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with the end process. Like, they'll figure it out. They're going to bring back Steven Nelson. I'm convinced they're going to bring back Steven Nelson.
I don't want to hear another person tell me that they could have drafted this guy or this guy. I just don't. I'm sorry. I don't think you know anything. I don't. I don't know anything. I know I don't know anything. I know the experts barely know anything. Don't tell me that some guy was on the board that you really feel strongly about. What are we talking about here? The fourth wide receiver?
Yeah.
Or so, like, if we're going through all the rankings.
Yeah.
The LSU guy, I mean, you feel pretty good just based off of the LSU side of things. But can we stop? Like, it was a mistake. They missed on this guy or this guy. You have no clue. Stop telling yourself you have a clue. You don't know a damn thing. I don't know a damn thing. No one knows anything.
Nick Caserio said he could start cutting players here soon. Obviously, the one player we've talked about a bunch, Robert Woods. They have 12 wide receivers technically on the roster right now. That number is going to dwindle dramatically. Some of these will be like the Twins, Jaden Jackson Jenke, I think it is, from South Dakota State that they signed.
I didn't even look. They don't exist until they make the 53.
I only know about them just because like it's like everyone's like they signed twins. That's the only reason why.
Twins, yes. A, twins, and B, the. Do we know if they're going to be the Hard Knocks team?
They will not be because they made the playoffs last.
Okay. This is a fun fact, Joe. Thank you for the fun fact.
I was going to say because this seems like something that would be a Hard Knock story. Like they just signed these guys to be on Hard Knocks.
Oh yeah,
they just casted them
They'll
to be on Hard Knocks.
Definitely be playing pranks with the locker room.
Look, these twin wide receivers, isn't it crazy?
Wait, are they identical or
they're identical?
Too? Oh, they're identical.
What happens when you have to cut one of them? Worst. Like, how do you cut one of them?
I don't know. I mean, you'd probably be able to determine who's good and who's bad when they're wearing a helmet and numbers.
Yeah, thankfully they were.
Well, yeah, I just feel like it's going to feel awkward, right? Like, hey, Jackson, you're safe. We're going to call your brother in here next. Well, he's cut.
You won't tell him that. hey, by the way, that bum brother of yours can't make this team.
Anyone that you have like kind of on your list of players that you are wondering if they'll cut outside of Robert Woods?
Woods makes the most sense. I don't think there's really anyone out there that I'm like, oh, man, they got to free up some cap space right now, you know? Because, I mean, what are they going to do with that cap space? Seems like they're pretty close to being done, you would think, unless they're bringing back Steven Nelson or they're going to sign a Quandre Diggs or something like that. But I don't see a lot of urgency to go get more talent, so...
Yeah, it's more about just like cutting your roster down.
Woods just makes the most sense because of the amount of money he saves and because you do seem to have a lot of receivers now.
Kenyon Green.
No. That,
I don't – not now. I'm curious. I don't know if he makes a team this year.
No, he's a first-round pick. There's no way he's not on the team.
I don't know.
Why would they cut him?
He's a lot of money, like compared to like some of the other depth guys.
Yeah.
I just wonder. Like if you're cutting down your roster – and Kenyon Green, like, once again, proves nothing.
How much are you saving if you cut him?
Probably minimal.
So then why cut him?
Because you're going to need a backup left guard.
You have backup left guards, I think. You have Tytus Howard. You have Juice Scruggs.
See, exactly. Like,
you have Jared Patterson.
There's no reason for them to cut
him. Yeah, he just needs to be better than Jared Patterson. Then.
That's tough. Any chance Jimmy Ward gets cut, or you think he's locked in?
Does feel like he's locked in.
Yeah, I think so, too, which I don't like.
He was one of the models for the New Jerseys, therefore... he's locked in.
So is Petrie.
Yeah, a lot locked of Petrie in. And Ward jerseys available in the pro shop.
Yeah, that makes me feel like it's a tell. They're in.
I mean, probably. Things can happen.
This is a very stupid thing that we're reading a lot into. But
yes.
It does speak to some
CJ,
level.
CJ Stroud not in the videos?
I'm surprised they didn't draft a quarterback.
They should have made him all Stroud.
Yeah, what? Paul, do you think the Texans made a mistake not drafting Spencer Rattler once he started to fall?
I think
they made a mistake.
Hearing that his appearance on the high school football show QB1
like 7 years ago
was a reason that teams didn't like him was really funny. It was really funny.
It is like again, not 7 years ago, but pretty close. He was in college for a while. I mean, he was in college for 6 years.
I mean,
was he a 6 years guy?
He's got to be 22, right?
Yeah. So it is just crazy to be like, yeah, remember when you were 17? We didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't
just
like
just because it was on TV.
Hey, remember
you have
when you
players
were...
getting DUIs, getting drafted, and like you have players like he was on a reality TV show, seemed like an arrogant prick.
Yeah,
and like we didn't want to draft
that's,
him. Like,
that's
what?
That's how much he sucks. Is that when he was 17? They're like, we didn't forget.
Like when Ian Rapoport
said
that.
We took the guy
that.
With character
has,
concerns.
Has there been anything that's happened since like COVID that's made you think this way? No.
Yeah, like maybe he's just not good. Yeah, like, be like his reality TV show when he was 17, that's crazy.
He's not well adjusted after being on a reality TV show as a teenager.
Yeah, if anything, he sounds like he's an awesome reality TV show character.
It seems like if he sucked that much, that he's probably learned from that over the almost decade since that show was out.
He started at Oklahoma. The only reason he left is because Caleb Williams took his job.
Hey, maybe the Saints will be the Hard Knocks team. And Spencer Rattler can be a reality TV star again.
There we go.
And we can see how much he's grown.
No, they didn't make the playoffs.
So I think they're eligible. Because it's like you have to make the – if you made the playoffs within the last 2 years or have a new coach, you're ineligible, or they can't force you to do it. The Bears are going to be a Hard Knocks team this year. I guarantee it. They're eligible to be on Hard Knocks. They drafted Caleb Williams. The Bears will be on Hard Knocks this year.
And Caleb Williams, did you see what he texted his punter?
You're not going to punt a lot.
I mean, he should have texted that to Ryan Poles before he drafted a punter in the fourth round.
Hey, maybe. You know what? It's worth for the Texans. Get an Aussie punter. I guess the Texans got rid of their Aussie punter.
So. How many messages do you think Caleb Williams has sent to random Bears teammates, and how many of people have rolled their eyes after receiving those messages?
I mean, every single one has been tweeted about. Do you think
he texted the kicker? He's like, hey, you're going to be scoring. You're going to be kicking lots of extra points, so brush up on your 47-yarders or whatever it is, 37-yarders.
I just don't know if I believe that he actually sent all these texts either. Or if it's some weird PR spin that he's, because everyone said he was a bad teammate.
Hey, I texted the Gunners and I told them, you're not going to be running much this year. So you might want to look for work elsewhere.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to Gary. And then the war on Galveston that Charles Barkley has started. We'll get to that next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. It's the exact opposite of Galveston Beaches, guys. It's the best! Yes, Galveston Beaches are terrible. Highway Cantina, the best. It's my favorite spot in East Downtown. Right by the baseball stadium. So if you want to go before or after, you've got a little pit stop where you can grab yourself a 975 Tall Texan Margarita or have some of their phenomenal chips and salsa, mesquite, sausage, wood-fired oysters, and just all the stuff that you expect out of Tex-Mex. They've got it, and it's so damn good. My tummy's rumbling just thinking about the Highway Cantina. Hey, you work downtown? Go here for a happy hour. Take your boss here. He'll be impressed. It's the Highway Cantina on St. Emmanuel. Tell him Paul Gallant sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Before we hear from Charles Barkley, trashing Galveston, let's go out to Gary real quick. Gary, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
Just wanted to say, the resident Nick Caserio critic, obviously great job, CJ Stroud, Ryan. But the draft kind of doesn't make very much sense to me. Even the Diggs, a second-round pick for a guy who's going to be here for a year, maybe. Or if he's not here, we have to pay him a lot of money. Doesn't really make sense. Moving out of the first round, then not coming away with a defensive tackle or a starting cornerback. I just want to say, the dude was a disaster. Then he did good. And I've just been hearing a lot of, Caserio walks on water. We can't question what he does type of content. And I just don't think we're there yet. I still think we'll be a good team. But I do have some questions about our approach in free agency, but more so the draft. I just don't really understand it, at least not for where we're at as a franchise right now.
I get what Gary's saying here from this perspective. If you wanted a defensive tackle, you probably feel a little annoyed with the fact that the Texans didn't go and get a guy until the seventh round. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy had a fifth-round grade, and seems to be actually a pretty good find at that spot, just based off of reading about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's undersized. That's really his biggest issue, but he hustles. He's got a motor from Auburn. What's his name? Marcus Harris. But again, it's towards the back of the draft that you're picking him. You definitely could have used some defensive tackle help. Maybe some of the guys that went off the board in front of you were who the Texans were targeting. Ultimately, I get coming away from it being frustrated that they did not answer those needs. But the thing is about the draft, and especially in this little window, first round, back of the first round, early second round, you can't force a pick based off of need. If you don't like the guy that's there, you should never do that. You should take the players that you like, even if they are playing at a position where you already have depth, like tackle. And with Blake Fisher. And that is the move I bet that most people are scratching their head about from the entirety of the weekend. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'm not going to get upset about that. I'm hoping that some guys get cut in training camp that are better options than what the Texans have at defensive tackle. Because there are names that you, at the very least, look at and you're just like, I don't think any of these guys are bad, but none of these guys jump off the screen.
Yeah, you know, and I also, it's not that Nick Caceri has avoided criticism in his career. Like, obviously, the Kenyon Green pick obviously is the one that people are going to bring up the most. But when you do look at Nick Caceri's draft history, he's taken, it looks like, 23 players since he got here. And I would bookmark about 11 of them of having meaningful impact on this team since he drafted him. That's like 50%. So now I'm including Davis Mills in that. I'm like, he was a starting quarterback for two years and is a competent backup. You got him in the third round. That's a good player. Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan. He's had a high hit rate of picks. So that's part of the reason why it's you kind of have to trust what you see, because 50% hit rate or close to it in the NFL seems like a massive success. Even if it's just a little off. So he could be wrong on all of these guys, but he's been very good so far. With when you look at the Texans starting roster, like starters and their depth, a lot of them are guys that Nick Caceri has brought in. So that's why it's I trust Nick Caserio. And I get why Gary are critical. Like you said, I think those criticisms are fair. Like trading out of the first round, using that pick that from Minnesota for Diggs to only have him for a year, all of that is very, very fair. But I look at it and say, that's okay.
I wonder, I mean, I don't wonder. I know, actually. A lot of, Caserio is dodging a lot of criticism because of how last draft went. Last draft went so well, and I think rightfully so, he just gets a blanket immunity for this draft, as long as it's not a complete disaster. We don't know if it's a complete disaster yet, but at just as far as, you know, kind of trusting the plan, I think he gets some benefit of the doubt. If last year they, instead of having Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, they drafted Bryce Young and they didn't trade up, they just had whatever mid-first round pass rusher went out, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa last year, then probably a little harsher on this year's draft.
Definitely.
because you don't have the kind of pelts on the wall that Caserio has. I think this has brought the temperature of what Texans fans take on the draft is to about the right temperature.
Yeah.
Where people aren't, you know, blowing their wad over this draft, but they're also not ripping them.
There's nothing to rip. There really isn't.
Yeah.
Because none of us are clairvoyant. None of us see the future. Stop.
I did make a trip to Arrakis, and so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. But, I mean, one, I look at all these players. I'm not expecting significant impact on the coming season from any of them. Two, how could they ever match what they did last year? Because it wasn't just Stroud and Anderson. It was also Tank Dell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could not have had a better draft class considering Nick Caserio was against the ropes. I mean, the Texans basically told us he was with that awkward press conference that they made him have
for
30 minutes after he fired Lovie Smith. And he just fielded awkward question with the first lady and the owner of the Texans just sitting right there watching him cook. Like, literally be boiled alive like that guy in Shogun who gets dropped in the pot of boiling water.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. in peace, fella. Nick survived, okay? A little Daenerys Targaryen kind of vibes, huh? You know, he can go in the boiling waters. He comes out unscathed. Maybe not looking like Daenerys, but because he doesn't have boobs.
Hopefully
but
he has clothes on.
You would think so, right? Let's not go too far down the rabbit hole and talk about the parts. Let's just talk about the parts that he brought in last year. There's no way that this year's draft class is going to match that.
It's impossible.
It's one of the best draft classes in Texans history last year. We touched on it last week.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to even throw a close second up there.
You look at
You just drafted Bryce Young, or you drafted, not Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. congratulations, you just had the best draft class in Texans history.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
You had the offensive and rookie defensive of the year. You had Tank Dell. You have Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson, who very likely could be your left guard
totally
and center.
Totally forgot about Scruggs.
Right? Like this year. Yeah, like both well, those guys. Yeah. You have Henry To'o To'o, who people – like he
– people love To'o To'o.
He wore – the like he was the – he was calling the plays on defense in week one. Yeah. So, like, it's not – like last year's draft class might be like a once-in-a-lifetime draft class.
Yeah, I mean, so that's why I feel like and the stakes just aren't as high with this draft class, not just compared to last year's Texans, but compared, I feel like, to your average team, like the stakes were not that high because they had a first-round pick, it was 23rd, and then they traded back. And so when you're dealing with 2 seconds, a third, a fourth, there's not much that you can do that's like drastically swinging how people think of your team the 2 days after the draft. All that could happen is, hey, maybe they stumble into, you know, like a Puka Nacua or like some sort of, you know, a Bobby Wagner, a one of these future Hall of Famers that no one sees coming that gets drafted in the fifth round.
This draft is more reminiscent to his first. His first three picks were Davis Mills, Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan. Okay. If you get one really good player who's going to get a second contract and two backups in this draft, great job.
I was going to say that's like 1.5 hits.
Yeah. It's like you have depth on your roster and one guy is going to get a new contract. Like if Kalen Bullock gets a new contract and everyone else is just a depth piece, like that, this draft is a win, honestly. Not everything has to be a home run. It was brought up on the text line. We did forget to mention this. That's my bad. Yes, Tank Dell was shot over the weekend. He has been released from the hospital. He has a minor wound. The Texans said he was released in good spirits from the hospital, that they are in contact with him. So prayers to Tank Dell. Hopefully this is a very just minor thing, and he will be okay this season. But that did happen over the weekend. When we get back, we'll hit on that a little bit more, just because I'm sure there's more to talk about with this. But also,
we bring it up, a guy getting shot at the end of a second.
I know, but we didn't mention it yet. We're an hour into the show, had to throw it in there.
By the way, we're about to go to break.
The second best receiver from last year's Texans.
We didn't mention it at all in the first hour. This is literally the biggest story of the weekend.
My bad. We'll do that next year on Glenn George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.